We are in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 6. Isaiah chapter number 6. We will read verses 1 through 9 together. So Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. I'll read the odd verses and let's read the even verses together, please. Isaiah chapter 6. Verse number 1, the Bible says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord, saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And let's read that final verse together, please. Ready? Begin. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. And again, Lord, we thank you so much for the privilege we have to be here this morning. Thank you for a wonderful Christmas time, no doubt with friends, family, even some of us, our church family. Thank you for all you mean to us. Thank you for this time we can hear preaching from your word, from our pastor. Please be with him as he preaches, all of us as we listen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Time just drifts away, and as I look back on the years, memories of happiness and bitter tears. Through it all there was a common thread that cannot be ignored. You were there teaching me to be your servant, Lord. All along your hand has been guiding me, shaping my life to be a beautiful song. All along you've led me through the things that you knew would make me strong. Your love has been there all along. Every joy and pain had a reason of its own. Now I realize that I was not alone. The changing seasons of my life were not left up to chance. Lord, I know you were working to fulfill you.
you for that. Of course, we're coming to the end of the year, and you know how that is with people. And maybe you're already looking ahead. You're thinking of changes you would like to make in your life. What we call those New Year's resolutions. How many of you have ever made a New Year's resolution? Okay, here's the tougher question. You ready? How many of you have ever kept one? Seriously? Good. Two of you. God bless you. I tried. I keep it usually until January 2nd. But sometimes we do. We like to change. That's why we make resolutions. By the way, if you read through Scripture, basically the Scripture is about changing, about constantly letting God work in your life and things in your life that need correction. Why do we like these things? Why do we think about that at the end of the year? Well, there's so many different reasons, but well, there's usually something in our life that we don't like. We want to change it. There's something in our life that we want to do. There's something in our life that we know needs to be changed. And so we think about it this time of year, and we set aside some time, or we set aside a plan to, I'm going to change this year. I'm going to be different. But the changes we think of making are usually small, individual ones. We think of reading our Bible more. And I hope that should just be a basic one for everybody as a Christian, just basically. By the way, congratulations to Tim and Cindy. I had another baby. Let's give them a hand. Little girl. So, did she have it on the due date? Is that the third in a row on the due date? That sister is scheduled right there, okay? I mean, I've heard about keeping a schedule, but that's a schedule. God bless her. Back to reality here. So maybe we want to read our Bibles more. We want to grow in some area. We have a habit or sin that we don't like. Some type of health thing. Maybe it's something at our job. These are good. But the thing I want us to understand today is many times these things we want to change, these things we want to work on, don't last because there's not a greater purpose behind why we're doing them. Or we don't understand the real purpose behind why we're doing these things. We say we want to read our Bible more. Well, what is the purpose between reading our Bible more? Behind reading our Bible? Because we want to be a better Christian. We want to be more spiritual. We want to grow in some area because we don't want to be stagnant. We want to eliminate some habit or sin in our life that we're struggling with because we want to be a more obedient, holy Christian. Why do we want to do some type of health thing? Because we want to feel better and be as healthy as we can, okay? Why do we want to be better at our job? Because we want to be more successful. And you could just go on and on and on. You have to see the purpose behind what you are doing. Now, we're going to look at this story, and we're going to see this because we need to have, if we're going to be different this year, if we're going to have changes in our life, we have to start with changing what we're focusing on, and we need to focus on the right things. In this chapter, we see the call of Isaiah to serve the Lord and fulfill his will. King Uzziah had died. King Uzziah, for the most part, was a good king. He struggled a little bit towards the end of his life, and he was disciplined for that. But all in all, he was a decent king compared to many of the kings that served. And even though this king had died, God gives Isaiah a vision of the real king. Of course, we know the king who never dies, and that is the Lord. So you see, if we're in Isaiah's shoes, the king dying was a big thing because basically the spiritual direction or fervor of the people in the nation a lot of times was determined by the king and what he promoted, either good or bad. And so God gives him a vision. And in this vision, Isaiah is called and transformed into a great servant to follow God. And it all begins with his transforming vision, this true worship experience that God used to change his focus and see some things that would help him to be completely different. That's what, by the way, we are confused so often as to what real worship is. Real worship isn't some, you know, whoop-de-doo feeling. It's when we ascribe worth to something. And worship is when we're ascribing worth to the one who is worthy of that. And that, of course, is the Lord God. True worship, as Isaiah was having in that moment, caused him to focus on that which is right, that which would direct his life. And it directed his life. Much of what passes off today, as I mentioned, is worship in churches, is not. Just because we come in here and sing a type of music that makes us want to feel whoop-de-doo, that's not worship. Okay, standing up and singing for 40 minutes and having the electric guitars and all the nonsense and jumping around, that's not worship. Right. But if that's worship, that's what I used to do when I was a teenager. Yeah. Okay, I'd go down to the Long Beach Arena here and I worshiped because I felt it, but it had nothing to do with God. You know, that was free. Worship is not for my feeling. Worship is for God's glory. And if worship makes me feel good, but it doesn't make me draw closer or think about my God, that's not worship.
Come on.
Okay? I want to think about the Lord. And so that's what happens. It made him think about God. It drew him closer to God, and it motivated him to be obedient to God. This experience changed Isaiah's focus. What I want us to see this morning is three things that this meeting with God caused Isaiah to focus on. And these three things are what we should always be focusing on. But as we're looking to 2020, I think we ought to challenge you to focus on these three areas or three things or people that Isaiah did. First of all, this vision that he saw caused him to focus on God. Focused on God. By the way, if anything that is considered to be spiritual does not cause you to focus on God, it really isn't spiritual. Okay? We could have the greatest meeting in the world and we can have a great time and go home, but if we didn't focus on God, we really didn't have a meeting with God. And this totally caused him to focus on God. In what areas? Well, he understood that God is high and lifted up. Look at verse 1 of Isaiah chapter 6. It goes, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. You know how you know what you're thinking about God is right? Because God, it is when God is high and lifted up. See, what we're doing in our time now is we're bringing God down to our level. And you cannot do that. We don't believe in idols, but yet what we do is we take God and we try to mold him into what we want him to be, and we try to bring him down to our level. And let me just say this, he's not the true God if we do that. We need to see him for who he is. Worshiping God, we don't bring him down to our level so we feel good about it. We see him on his level, and we try to ascribe to get to his level so he feels good about it. Yeah. I read this quote years ago, God created man in his own image, and man has now returned the favor. The God most people serve is nothing more than a glorified idol. A God of their own choosing. They just have a tendency to throw his name on there. But when we see God for, I'm not going to see God the way Isaiah did in a vision. I get that. But we see God for who he really is when we open the pages of our Bible. When we spend time learning the truth of God's word and we look at the Bible and find out who he really is. See, we sometimes in Christian maybe we have we're not necessarily worshiping as an idol, but what we do is we focus on the attributes of God that we want or that we like, and we ignore the attributes of God that we don't like. For instance, it's very easy to focus in on God's grace and God's love. And if that's all we focus in, then we don't focus in on the other parts of God, and we can use that as an excuse to be very sloppy in the lifestyle which we live. You understand that? Someone many years ago, they said, we're going to go to a different church. I just want to go to a church that only focuses on God's love. And I'm like, yeah, we don't love God here. What he meant by that is, I just want, and by the way, God's love is unbelievable. Okay, it is. But we also need to balance it out by understanding God's holiness and his righteousness. By the way, when we understand how holy and righteous God is and how much he hates sin, and then we think about the fact that he still loves us, his love has a little bit more meaning. That he loves us in spite of who we are and what we do. By the way, some people, they like the story of Jesus and the money changers. I mean, let's go in and kick the tables over and throw everybody out, amen? Because that's they like that judgmental. Look, it all goes together. We have to accept God for everything that he is. I love the description of Jesus, that he was full of grace and truth. And we need that balance. But I want to see God for who he really is. And he also focused on the fact that God was holy and fully glorified. Look at verse 2. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Now, this is the only place in Scripture where the seraphims are mentioned. The name literally means burning ones. And you see what they're doing here. They're basically sitting there and singing and praising God for his holiness. Now, if these creatures that are only mentioned once in the Bible, when they're mentioned, are only talking about God's holiness, it seems to me that might just be a little bit of a big deal. What does it mean by holy? God is perfect. God is sinless. And God is right in everything that he does. And thank God that we serve a God like that. Now, there's a problem. We don't even like that word, holy. You know why? It convicts us. Because we're not holy. When we talk about the holiness of God, it's almost like, ugh, do I even match up? And it gets worse because he says, be ye holy as I am holy. It's like, really? Will we ever be as holy as God? No. But we ought to ascribe to be as holy as we can. But I thank God that even though when I fall short, I serve a God who never falls short. God is always right. God is always perfect. And we can trust his ways. And so this year, as you get started, why don't we have a proper focus on God? Why don't we take our life and focus on God, the real God, the God of the Bible, and let him dominate everything there is in our life? But that's not the only thing that Isaiah focused on. He focused on himself. Look at verse 5. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone. Because I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lord, this hath touched my lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Now, I want us to understand, we will never correctly focus on God if we don't have a proper focus about ourselves. And really, if we have a proper focus about God, we will have a proper focus on ourselves. And when I say focus on ourselves, I don't mean look at life through me. That's usually what we mean. It's like, oh, you know, you're not focusing on yourself enough. You know, typically the problem is we focus on ourselves too much. That's not what I mean by focus on ourselves. What I mean by that, we are focusing on God, and we got that right. Now the focus comes back to ourselves, and we see ourselves the way that God sees us. We don't view ourselves through what I deserve because as I'm living on this earth. We view ourselves through how does God see me? Too many of us, we don't, if we were honest about it, we don't see that. Now, there's a positive and a negative here as we focus on ourselves. First, we need to understand that we're sinful. Verse 5, he said, woe is me, I am undone because I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of an unclean people, for mine eyes have seen the King. It always bothers me when you hear these people, and by the way, they're lying. When they say, I died and I went to heaven for 10 minutes and, you know, I saw a rainbow pony and everything was good and Jesus is my buddy. Listen, when Isaiah saw God, that's not what he saw. He didn't say, oh, that's my buddy, it's all good. We rode bicycles together. They weren't riding bicycles together. Okay? That's a bunch of nonsense. If you, look, oh, I want to see my Savior, and I do want to see my Savior one day. And I want to see God one day, but you know what? That's a little bit daunting. As my Lord, it's like, I don't match up. By the way, that's why God's grace is so wonderful. Yeah. But when Isaiah saw him, he saw himself properly. And by the way, God wasn't, this is just something like, it's not to be condemning, okay? It's to keep us in line. It's to keep us in our proper perspective. Lord, you're everything, and me, I'm just your servant. Yep. We're sinful. I'm not saying that so we continue to be. He goes, I am a man of unclean lips. I don't think that's the only problem, only sin that he noticed in his life. But we do understand that what we say with our mouth is a reflection of what's in our heart. As Matthew says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What he is saying is, man, I don't even know how to talk correctly compared to my God. Listen, we need to understand who we are. We are flesh. We are sinful beings, and we serve a righteous God. Let's understand our place. By the way, when we understand we're sinful, we make provisions so that we live the way God wants us to live, understanding that we can do things that are wrong at any time. But when we see God, we see ourselves for who we really are. I don't like this new type of Christianity, this health and wealth Christianity, where we could just tell God what he can do. These guys that want to spend millions of dollars buying their little private jets and they think they're little gods. They're not little gods. We're not. We are sinful beings. But we're not only sinful, we can be sanctified. Look at verse 6. As he's there and he's concerned about who he is and the sin, and he feels like he doesn't match up, he says, then flew one of the serpents unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips. Thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. That's why we need to understand who God is, and then we understand our sinfulness, because then we understand God wants something better for us. God didn't just look down and goes, man, I'm a man of unclean lips. And he's like, yep, you are. What did he do? He went about seeking to change that. He said, listen, your iniquity's taken away. You're forgiven. Now you can go forth and live better. Don't buy this. We have an RU and we're reaching addicts and so forth. But I don't like this thing like, well, you know, once an alcoholic, always alcoholic. That's not true if you're a Christian. You're not. God transforms us, and he takes that sin away, and he wants to change us so we no longer live that life. But if we don't really know him and we don't really understand the depths of our sin, we will never be changed. And we need to understand that he's the one that does the changing in us. Yes, we have to put the effort. Yes, we have to do what we're supposed to do. But as we stay close to him, he gives us the power to be successful in that. You say, man, I've been a Christian for a while, and it just seems like I'm not changed, and it's just the same things going over and over and over. That's not what God wants for you. And I'm not saying you're ever going to get to a place of perfection, but the sins that trip us up, they don't have to trip us up. The sins that are setting us back, they don't have to set us back. God wants to sanctify. He wants to change us. Maybe as you look to this year, you need to sit down and think of some things in your life where you're struggling and say, Lord, I don't want to struggle in these areas anymore. I want to get in your word, and I want to find your help, and I want your power. By the way, it starts with having a relationship with him. If you're not being faithful to church, if you're not being faithful to his word, if you're not being faithful to pray to him, you're going to struggle. But thank God that's not his plan. He wants us to be close to him, so we're always in remembrance of who we are and who he is. So this year, we need to have a focus on God. We need to have a focus on self. And lastly, we need to have a focus on others. See, if we have the proper focus on God, we have the proper focus on self, God now wants to use us to be a help to others. God doesn't want to change you just so you're some trophy somewhere sitting up on a case collecting dust, right? You know what trophies are? They're space takers. And I know our teams, you play, you go for first place and you get the trophy and you get the photo op and you know what they are? It's just, now it just sits on a shelf collecting dust. We're not trophies. God wants us to be changed because he has something he wants us to do. He wants to commission us. He doesn't want us just to focus. See, we stop sometimes and we, you know, I can't help others because I'm focusing on myself. Well, if you focus on yourself, you will have a focus on others. I mean, God did, what did Jesus say? The greatest commandment is to love God and love your neighbors as yourself. The two go together. So he wants to focus on other. It changed the purpose of Isaiah's life. And it would change the purpose of our life. Our life will no longer be about ourselves, our own ambitions, our own desires, our own dreams, and our old goals. And by the way, none of those things in and of themselves are wrong. You ought to have some ambitions. You ought to have some dreams. You ought to have some goals, but they all ought to be centered and focused on what does God want for my life. And I know we all have responsibilities to take care of. We all have families. We all have bills and all those things. But we take care of our responsibilities, but we never use any of that as an excuse not to be involved with helping others. That's what God wants us to do. And that's what happened to Isaiah. It brought him face to face with what God wanted. God wanted him to go in his place, someone who would represent him and his purpose and his message for others. By the way, the New Testament also makes it clear that we are God's messengers. We are God's agents to get his message out. If you believe that God loves you, if you believe that God loves this world, how will the world ever know that? We're to share that with them. We should. So what is this focus on others? Well, it started with a call. Look at verse 8. He says, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" God says, I need someone to do this. I need someone to go give a message. There's a call. By the way, whenever we look at the Bible and we're confronted with something that God wants, that means there needs to be an answer. God confronts us because he wants us to answer. And the answers, whenever God asks us to do something, there's only two answers, right? The first one is, yes, I'll do it. The second one is, no, I won't. You say, well, wait a minute. I said maybe. No, that's a no. Yeah. Well, I'll answer the question later. That's a no. Okay, listen, you know, we have a lot of spiritual politicians. You ever see this video of politicians? Hey, listen, let me ask you a yes. Do you believe that or do you do that? And then it's like, can you not just say yes or no? You know why they don't want to answer it? Because the answer is no. Yeah. Okay. God doesn't want to hear that. The answer is either yes or no. And if you don't answer yes, anything else you answer is a no. God calls. God wants us to represent him. 2 Corinthians 5:19 says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." He goes, we're the ambassadors. We represent God in this land. By the way, we live here, but this isn't our home. Our home is heaven if we're saved. We are ambassadors, and we represent the King, and our job as ambassadors is to help people to become reconciled to him. It's our job. That's helping others. You say, well, I don't want to be an ambassador. You are one. The question is, are you an obedient one or are you a disobedient one? Are you fulfilling your job or are you asleep on the job? But there's a call. God wants us to represent him. Then there's a confirmation. Then said I, here am I, send me. Now, most of us would answer, here am I, send him. Yeah. Okay, that's just how we are. Let someone else do it. We've got to confirm that, you know, Lord, I will go. Listen, if you're not the Christian that you should be today, there's only one person's fault. Yeah. I'll say this with a smile. You. Yeah. If I'm not who I should be as a Christian, you know whose fault it is? Me. Yeah. I'm choosing to be where I'm at. And you choose to be where you're at. Until we understand that, we won't be motivated to get to where we should be. But he said, he goes, I'll do it. By the way, I just think it's always a good thing for us to say, you know what? If this is what God wants, I'm in. If this is what God wants for my life, yes. That's just a good place to be. Let's not have to think about it, right? If it's something clearly in the Bible, I just think that we should just do it. Remember years and many, many, many years ago, I was younger and I listened to some guy preach. He goes, you know, God wants you to do this. And I heard it and I'm like, I don't necessarily agree with that. Maybe I shouldn't think that, you know. And he goes, well, flip your Bible over here. It's something I hadn't heard. He goes, flip your Bible over here. I want to show you a verse. And man, he read the verse. And I'm like, let me check that out one more time. And I'm like, he's right. I hate when that happens. And I'm like, you know what? If it's in the Bible and God says it, guess what? Yeah. I just ought to say, okay, Lord, I'm in. But there was then there's a communication. He said in verse 9, and he said, go and tell this people. He said, you know what? I will be a representative for God. Now, I want you to understand something. If you read the rest of the chapter, his message was not really nice. In other words, the message he had to take was a message of bad news. I heard someone rip this verse like, oh, see, that, get over it. I'm glad that in the New Testament, God sent us out, and now we have the good news. The good news. You know what? Jesus came. That's why we celebrated Christmas, to die for the sins of this world. And he offers us something better. You know what we need to focus on this year? And I'm done. Three things. If we focus on these three things, we'll have a good year. We need to focus on God for who he really is. We need to focus on ourselves for who we really are. We need to focus on taking God to others. Now, there's a lot of things. I didn't talk about weight loss here. By the way, you know who's going on a diet the new year? Everybody. It's just like everywhere you turn, there's sugar. And it's got to be eaten by somebody. By the way, thank you for all the gifts that you gave my family, especially all those cookies. I feel personally responsible to eat those. I really do. But I'm not talking, you know, I'm going to be a better this or better that. Listen, this is a general outline here. Let's get these things in order, and all those other little things we need to knock out, they'll come. What are you going to focus on this year? Let's focus on the right things. Let's stand together this morning.